Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The country may have been dry, but at least the music was intoxicating. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, the red-hot music behind HBO's Boardwalk Empire. And later, the Tibetan-born ethnomusicologist and filmmaker Ngawang Chofel joins us, and we'll ask you to weigh in on Pavement, the seminal 90s band currently playing sold-out shows all this week in New York. But first, this past Sunday, HBO premiered a new period drama called Boardwalk Empire. And unless you've been living under a boardwalk yourself, you've probably heard about it or even seen it. The story takes place in debauched Atlantic City during the Prohibition era, when gangsters and corrupt politicians kept the city fueled by liquor. The characters are based on real-life figures, the costumes are great, but the secret ingredient to this cocktail is the music. And joining me are the two people who helped create the sound of Boardwalk Empire, the music supervisor, Randall Poster. Randall, welcome to Soundcheck.
How are you, John?
And musician and band leader Vince Giordano. Vince, welcome back.
Thanks to be here, John.
Randall, let me start with you. I mean, Boardwalk Empire has Steve Buscemi, of course, in the lead role as Nucky Thompson. Michael Pitt plays a supporting role. Is music kind of a character in this series?
I think it is. I mean, the challenge going into the production was to help define an era that I think is often is an unknown, relatively unknown era in American history, and to use the music to sort of help give it real definition. And so it was very important at the outset with director Martin Scorsese and Terry Winter, who created this series, to really mine the period music to great effect and to help create another character in the show.
Well, and as you allude to, this is a period in American music that most of us really don't know all that well.
Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot about it in the course of making the show, and largely with the help of Vince, came to know a lot about the music of the era. And it really is a very transitional moment in American music where ragtime is becoming jazz. And perhaps more vaguely, there is the music of the silent film era, which, once the jazz singer happens and music gets married to the movies, there is no longer the need to hear any of this music that was played by musicians live in these Nickelodeons.
Right. It's funny to think of just how much live music there was back in those days. Vince Giordano, you with your band, the Nighthawks, you've been mining this particular motherload of music for many, many years. How was it to, finally work on a series where this is the setting?
It was a dream come true. It is a dream come true. And it's so good to be part of this. It's just exciting. Walking onto the set, it brought me to tears how much work and detail that they put into this, all these productions.
Now, you are not a 95-year-old guy. You did not live through this music first time around. How did you get into it?
I've been involved in this music for about 53 years out of my 58 years. I got involved by listening to old phonograph records. My grandmother was a big Al Jolson fan, and of course she had Caruso too, which shows up interestingly.
Caruso does show up in a
in this
particularly
series.
Bloody scene.
And the jazz and pop artists of those times and the dance bands. She was a flapper, so I just fell right into this many years ago.
So you're on character on screen.
Yes, I play the band leader. Mm-hmm. I have this weird instrument called a phonofiddle. It's a violin with a giant horn on it that was actually used in early recording days because they had problems in recording string instruments, and they also use it in vaudeville. So why not use it here?
So is it you who is sort of setting things in motion in this scene as we count down to the moment of Prohibition?
Yes, that's my big one scene. It's not exactly Rosebud or
but it'll,
I don't give a
it'll,
damn.
It'll
but
do.
It'll do. I'm so happy. If I have one line and one word, I'm going to do it.
All right, it's the countdown to Prohibition. The scene is Babette's nightclub in the HBO series Boardwalk Empire.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Mm-hmm.
That little clip from the HBO series Boardwalk Empire tells you much of what you need to know about the series. Yes, Prohibition has started, but the party has not stopped. You hear Vince Giordano, the leader of the Nighthawks. Is this the Nighthawks actually with you? So whole band is on screen.
On screen and on the soundtrack.
Vince is here with me in the studio on soundcheck today. And Randall Poster, the music supervisor, who has worked with Martin Scorsese and the rest of the folks behind Boardwalk Empire and on movies like Velvet Goldmine and The Aviator and Rushmore. So, you know, Randall, this is the idea of looking back to the past. I mean, this may be a little further in the past than you've done for other films, but... Is it the same kind of musical sleuthing, musical archaeology?
Yeah, I mean it's. I mean this show particularly, we were starting with sort of fewer clues, really, or with barer knowledge, and it's a very, like we said, a very rich trove of music. And as we discussed, I mean, in terms of the music of the Nickelodeon, I mean, the research really took us to the sheet music that. You know, Vince collects and helped us access. So oftentimes some of the music that we created for the show, we didn't really know what it sounded like until we got in the studio and sort of played it from the music. So that's sort of a rare circumstance.
Well, now here's a question from our listener, Sandra in Astoria. She writes, I thought it was interesting that they used a song by the Brian Jonestown Massacre for the opening credits, a contemporary band rather than some period music. Not that I'm complaining, because BJM is one of my favorite bands, and the rest of the music on the show is really great too. But who makes those decisions?
Well, I think the notion there going into it is I think they wanted to sort of send the message to the audience that it just isn't a nostalgia piece, that really I think the opening title music – lets you know that we're dealing with contemporary themes and contemporary issues. And the fact that I think it's very – by virtue of what HBO can show, you know, it's very contemporary in its attitudes. And I think one of the things we've learned about this era was there is a real modern sensibility that emerges in this country after the First World War. And I think – somehow I think it there's a code in the opening title that sort of lets you – gain some insight into the content of the show and really just kind of, I think, kicks off the period music very nicely.
Mm-hmm. Now, that period music, Vince, we're in a kind of transition. I mean, as Randall mentioned before, it is a transitory phase in the development of what would become American popular song. Where are we in 1920 in America musically?
Well, we finished with World War One and the war to end all wars, and the young folks, they said, the heck with all these Victorian values and that music, and we're going to live, and we're going to really live it up, because who knows what tomorrow's going to be about.
And even then they thought maybe it wasn't the war to end all wars.
Well, possibly. And so this ragtime music had been around this time, and slowly people start improvising. And you start to get this little hybrid, what I call ragga jazz, where it's still a little bit of ragtime in there, and this jazz of small baby steps is emerging. And it's an interesting period.
And who are some of the major – I mean, Sophie Tucker, would this be one of the major voices of that period?
Yes, she was there. Eddie Cantor, Al Jolson, the original Dixieland jazz band. Later on, Paul Whiteman comes into view.
Well, Sophie Tucker, certainly one of the great voices of this period we're talking about at the beginning of Prohibition. And here she is with Don't Put a Tax on Beautiful Girls.
Don't put a tax on the beautiful girls, but how can they live without love? I can't stand for Bebo, but let me tell you this. I couldn't get anything out of a man on a 2% kiss. What'll I do on a beautiful night if some nice young fellow should call? If they should ever put a tax on beautiful them, I'll be one wild woman that'll be covered with stamps. So don't put a tax on the beautiful girls, or we won't get no loving at all.
Don't Put a Tax on Beautiful Girls, Sophie Tucker. From around the same time, this is the beginning of Prohibition, and it already appears in this song, I'll See You in Cuba.
Went dry, everybody's going there, and I'm going too. I'm on my way to Cuba, that's where I'm going. Cuba, that's where I'll stay. Cuba, where wine is flowing, and where dark-eyed Stellas light their fellas, Panatellas, Cuba.
That is Billy Murray, and I'll See You in Cuba. So Prohibition sets in here in the States. Everybody's heading to Havana, unless they can apparently get to the Atlantic City of Boardwalk Empire, the new HBO series. And the folks behind the sound of that series are with me. Randall Poster is the music supervisor. Vince Giordano is the leader of the band, both on screen and in real life, called the Nighthawks. And interesting to hear how there is a kind of Latin tinge already, even to that song from like 1920. Vince, that kind of transitional phase you were talking about.
Yeah, there was a lot of elements coming in. Randall had said, you know, why don't we find some real obscure things but interesting things? And one piece of music that we found was a interesting dance that Vernon and Irene Castle used to do called the Half and Half. And it's actually a dance in 5/4. Now, people think of 5/4, you know, with take five and more modern music. But people back then were experimenting with dancing this 5/4 type of a little waltz and a little foxtrot. So we put that in, too.
Now, Randall, you have another kind of challenge in your job with music from this period, which is simply the sonic quality. I mean, especially, you know, you listen to that Sophie Tucker and you know, that's aurally A-U-R, aurally fatiguing after a couple of minutes. So how do you decide when to go with the snap, crackle, and pop of the original and when to actually re-record with modern instruments?
Well, part of the process is we would go in and we would record a lot of music and make that available to the various directors and editors on the various episodes. And once the footprints are sort of settling a little bit, then we figure out how to compensate one way or another so there isn't that kind of sonic burnout. And so if we feel if something seems to start building more with the live the newer recordings, then we try to counterbalance with some of the vintage pieces. And with that in mind too, I mean, we've tried to do some cleanup and use some modern technology to help clean up some of these records. But again, you know, the source is really, it's only as good as the record somebody has.
Mm-hmm.
But
a lot of the music is diegetic. It's actually in the scene, you know, when the mobster is killed and the Caruso record is going on the turntable. You see the record going around on the...
Right. So, I mean, there are those scripted moments that sort of start things off. And for instance, with those Caruso records, I mean, we go in and we find the best technicians who can help us bring out the vitality of the pieces.
And Vince, this song Alice Blue Gown, this is you and the band recreating a song from 80 years ago or whenever.
Yes, it's from a 1919 show called Irene, and the lady is portrayed, the star, she was called Edith Day. She was really big. She was very pretty, and we used a lady named Amber Edwards to capture her voice. We use some wonderful singers.
This is from the HBO series Boardwalk Empire.
When I first wandered down into town, I was both proud and shy as I felt every eye. But in every shop window I'd creep passing by, then in manner of fashion I'd frown, and the world seemed to smile all around.
So that's how Alice Blue Gown sounds now in the HBO series Boardwalk Empire, Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks. But here's how it sounded back in 1920 when Edith Day recorded it.
I once had a gown, it was almost new. Oh, the dingiest thing, it was sweet Alice.
Same song, Alice Blue Gown. That's the 1920 recording. Edith Day, who, as Vince Giordano was just saying, you know, that's the model for his performance in the HBO series Boardwalk Empire. Randall Poster, Edith Day, a lot of the singers, a lot of the recordings, a lot of the music of that period is not background. It's actually in the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, just like Al Capone and Lucky Luciano are characters in the show, so too are Edith Day and Sophie Tucker and Eddie Cantor. So really, I think as we started, and really I think this is by virtue of the way that Scorsese kicked us off, is that the writers and producers started to incorporate more of the performers of the time into the show. So, I mean, that is really a unique situation. And as the series went on, you'll see that, say, Eddie Cantor becomes a recurring character in the show.
Wow.
There's a great moment where Nucky is at the Republican convention in Chicago, and Warren Harding's campaign manager is trying to get Nucky to support Warren Harding. And at the end, he says to him, well, you know, we even have Al Jolson's writing us a campaign song. And Nucky says to him, well, Eddie Cantor's better. and you kind of take that as one of the great rewards of working on this show, that your musical moments endure and kind of breed drama.
Mm. Mm. Now, after the premiere, HBO announced that it will renew for a second season. So as the timeline moves ahead, are you guys already, you know, moving to the dustbins of 1924 and 25?
Well, we've been talking – Vince and I have been talking about that since sort of the middle of the current season. Is in 21, a monumental moment in that Paul Whiteman arrives in Atlantic City. And
this is the guy who debuted Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue just a few years later.
That's right.
It becomes the king of jazz.
Yeah.
And I think is famous in a way that I don't think people really can understand, given the variety of celebrities that we deal with today. I mean, he was an enormous man and an enormous star.
The Babe Ruth of music.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, yeah.
He had crowds of people that show up every time he was there. He was the highest paid. He was the biggest selling recording artist.
And Vince, what happens to you and your much smaller band when Paul Whiteman and his much larger orchestra take the screen in season two?
Well, there's rumors that I might join Paul Whiteman's band.
Ah.
And that's okay by me.
A little trade is being engineered from one group to the other.
Possibly.
Let's hear a little bit from Paul Whiteman and his Ambassador Orchestra. You might be hearing and maybe even seeing them down the road. The HBO series Boardwalk Empire premiered this past Sunday and will continue Sunday nights on HBO at 9 p.m. Vince Giordano leads his real-life band, the Nighthawks Orchestra, on Broadway at Sophia's Restaurant every Monday and Tuesday through December. Vince Giordano, music supervisor Randall Poster, guys, thanks so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you, John.
Next, the band Pavement Reconsidered. And later, Tibetan documentary filmmaker Nawang Chofel joins us. And next Tuesday, September 28th, we'll be broadcasting live from the green space on the ground floor here on Varick Street. You can join me and my guests, Phil Collins and David Byrne, in the green space for some conversation. We'll also have live music from singer Angelique Kidjo, one of the great voices in the world music scene. That's all happening next Tuesday, September 28th. For tickets, go to wnyc.org/thegreenspace. Yeah.